Hey, everybody, just before we start the show, I want to remind you we're giving away $500 just by being a subscriber to our YouTube page. Go to bellandthebirdmen.com. Okay, see ya.
Today on Bell and the Birdmen, how many snaps should the starters actually take in this game? Also, we play a game of good snap count, bad snap count, and the delicious taste of vanilla ice cream. It's all coming up on Bell and the Birdmen, but first, Taylor,
hit the music!
What's going on, Philadelphia? Hello, everybody. It's time for some fake football. Yahoo! I'm John Bartschert, and of course, the most beautiful man known on this show is Vince Quinn. How are you, sir?
It might be fake to you, John, but it's real to me. It's real to me. You remember that guy?
Oh, of course. Who doesn't remember that guy?
Absolute classic.
Taylor Credatis, are you betting on this game? Because I know I'm not even going to bother to ask if you care. Okay. You don't bet on preseason football?
I hate preseason football.
Man, Taylor's bet slips need an update then. I thought you were like a degenerate.
No, I have my betting detox post-NFL college NBA. Yeah,
that's very responsible of you. I like this.
Okay.
Not responsible of us. Let's have a lot of takes about a preseason game. And the only way we can do that... That's right. Cracking this. We're cracking the black cans tonight. Whenever you're listening and watching this, honestly. So what do we got on the docket here? Because I know there was an Aaron Rodgers quote that got your noggin peeking there, Vince Quinn.
Yeah, that was the thing. His tattoo also got my head. I'm still trying to get over what the hell is on his arm with that crazy tattoo that he's got.
Oh, I missed that.
Google the tattoo. Taylor, have you seen it?
I saw a PFT commenter said that tattoo is what's like inside Kyrie Irving's mind.
Yeah,
it might be right. I gotta
like
see this.
All these weird circles, and there's like a lion and symbols of time, and like I don't know what the hell's going on. It's one of the weirdest tattoos
seen. Wait, because he was trying to do the Con Air thing, right? Is that why he got the tattoo?
He totally has when he showed up to training camp wearing the wife beater, which I don't know why they still call it. I probably shouldn't even call it that.
Wife
but
pleaser.
Whatever.
Wife pleaser.
There
wife,
you the go. Wife pleaser. Yeah, giddy up. So he was wearing one of those, the flowing hair. He totally did have those Nick Cage vibes, but yeah, that tattoo was awful. But anyway,
wrong about tattoos, might be right about preseason snaps, mm-hmm. though, right?
Well, that's the thing. He had this quote because a lot of times Aaron Rodgers is out there with his ayahuasca and everything else that he's up to. It's just that he
is kind of Kyrie Irving already. So.
Packers podcasters are having a time. I'll tell you that. If we were a Packers show, we'd be all over the place.
We'd be
with that
shit. Skipping and jumping over a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the quote that he said that was really interesting. When it comes to playing in the preseason, he called it a waste of time.
And good.
The reason he said that is I definitely don't see any benefit to playing one series. If we're going to play, we should play and play a quarter, a couple of series, two or three series. Just suiting up for four plays to me is a waste.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
He's completely right.
Glad we're in agreement on that because it's usually just bad news bears if you're out there. And that's what we've been kind of been arguing with Ben. So shout out. Hey, Ben.
Especially
because we have a standing bet where like if Carson Wentz plays for a long time, I just said if Jalen Hurts plays at all in this preseason game on Friday night, then I would be shocked. I would be shocked. He shouldn't be playing one snap, not once exactly Aaron Rodgers. There's no reason whatsoever. You're just asking yourself to get hurt, and like the more you're out there, the worse it gets. And that's just true. So, like,
I don't know if that's exactly what Aaron's saying, and that's why I disagree with you. Like, because
it's either one way or the other. I'm saying basically, it's either zero or a lot.
Well, what is that? What is a lot for you?
Give me three quarters or give me zero.
Three quarters. That's a new license plate. Give me three quarters or give me zero.
You have either something to work out or you don't. And if you don't have anything to work out, then move on to the scrimmages that you're traveling to Cleveland for next week.
Well, see, that's why, for me, I think my limit is about a quarter. And like Roger said, two or three series is about a quarter. You know, so if you're playing in that range and, hey, it goes into the second quarter because you're on your third drive and you're getting a couple of snaps in and you play through that works for me. But it is weird because I've been under this impression, like I've convinced myself over the years that four snaps was okay. Like a series or two was okay because it sounds so casual, right?
Just four snaps.
You're just dipping your toe in the pool. You're just getting a taste. I mean, we've all been to the supermarket and had a free sample. It's great, you know? And then you think about it. You're like, wait, you're going to put these guys – what do you learn in four plays? If you go three and out, you haven't learned anything. If you do six plays because you did two series and you go three and out, you're not really learning anything in terms of the speed of things because it goes by so damn quickly. So – it's either you are playing and you are actually trying to experience what a game feels like and what that is and understand it, or you don't play at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there needs to be some understanding of like, all right, have these guys gotten an actual feel of what the game is? Because if you are going to risk them for four plays, you should risk them for 12. Because
and
the
if you're going to risk them for 12, you might as well risk them for 24. That's how my mind goes. Like,
see,
you're either working something out or you're not.
Well, and that's it. It's like, what is the goal you're actually trying to achieve? Because snap counts are kind of tricky in their own right. So it's, okay, if it is game speed and you want to make sure that everybody's getting snaps in and getting reps with certain key plays that you're going to run all the time, you want to get those done with that full pop that you're going to get from an opposing team.
Yeah.
Great. Then do that. Feel comfortable about it, and then take them out. But like all this arbitrary, like series or two, when it can be six plays and you're out of the game, it is a waste of everybody's time, and it is just an injury risk. Then you're just doing it to kind of do it like it's a bad plan.
Yeah, because it's just like what, and everyone has their own different philosophy on what they do with this now. Like there's so many old school coaches that are still wafting all their bullshit like into this, and I'll even say Andy Reid is the biggest culprit of it. He lets his starters play an insane amount of time to get ready for the season, and then people look at that and go, see, that's how you win a championship, and everybody's scared to do that. And they're like, you have Patrick Mahomes and, like, the fastest people on earth. Shut up. And even then, where were they this year? They looked a little sluggish throughout the entire start of the year. So, you know, like, everyone has their method. And everyone, I think we talked about this even before when we were hanging out, drinking our Liquid Deaths. And by the way, shout out to Market 320 in Media PA for carrying this fine stuff. Good work by
good
you
work.
Guys.
Good work.
Like Brandon Graham still probably has that Andy Reid phase in him because he still likes to play for like a quarter or two or a few series or two. I think Lane Johnson likes to do that. So I have no problem if you're a player that likes to get into the rhythm of all those things. But if you're a coach making a decision on all this stuff, wow, in the first preseason game, like if Jalen Hurts was playing three quarters, alarm bells would be going off. I'd be like, where's Derek Gunn? Let's get him in here and talk about this. Because then that would be a problem in the first preseason game. Anybody that plays a long time in this game is fucked, is battling right now. So Jalen Reagor, hope you enjoy the four quarters. Like,
oh no, come on. The whole league is interested in Jalen Reagor. Have you not seen the reports?
Chicago and who else was Howie throwing
Denver,
out there?
Denver, Cleveland. And that's exactly it. It's who is Howie throwing out there? He's going to everybody he can find. He's going, listen, man, I got some calls, man, from these guys, and they're telling me, man, Baltimore, they're dying.
Listen,
for
first round pick,
okay.
A lot of speed.
Yeah, sure.
Drafted the wrong coach. That's it. It's our fault. We messed up.
That's right. Yeah.
All those excuses.
It's not Jalen. It's us. Would be so funny to try to sell that to other teams. That'd be fucking hilarious.
He definitely. I bet you Julian's used that line helping out his dad.
Calls. Get him, Julian. And
now.
If Reagor gets traded, we're throwing a parade for Julian Lurie. That's what we're gonna do.
Mark
right or wrong.
That down.
But yeah, it's like all that stuff. It usually you are playing a lot of snaps then, and it is a guy battling, which is why too. If you're gonna do this now. Now, I get the philosophy of getting people up to that game speed, but why this week and not the third preseason game? Like, that's right before the season. Because if the whole thing is, oh, we want to get them up to this speed and pace and all that stuff and get those game looks as weak as they are, we want to get game looks in the preseason. Like, if I'm going to boil water and then turn off the stove for a half hour and then try to act like that's still boiling water, it's not boiling water anymore. It might be warm.
Right.
But that's a long gap between the first preseason game and week one.
Can we just destroy the myth? Like, none of this actually helps you during the season. This is evaluation only for coaches. It really isn't for us. They don't want anyone ramping up. And idiots like Dak Prescott and all that shit for the last 2 years be like, oh, I gotta play the last game of the season. Gets me right into the playoffs. How has that significantly helped the momentum of them, oopsie-daisy, only one playoff win? Like, it doesn't help you. There is no significant momentum. Is fake. It does not exist. It's a fantasy.
Oh,
it's just a,
I have to disagree about that.
Momentum is not real. It's a fallacy. It's the
football.
It's especially in football.
No.
Taylor.
Come
yeah,
on.
Of course it is.
What was the entire Eagles
momentum.
Super Bowl playoff run?
A very good fucking team with incredible depth that would not let up because of a first round, or excuse me, of a very easy schedule that they gained confidence and won a shitload of games with. And then old, you know, Guck McGee down in Washington now is.
But Nick Foles in the energy box, like people, and this is where I was wrong because I evaluated that. I was looking at the matchup and I thought, all right, the Vikings on paper are the better team in that game because, like, I didn't trust Nick Foles. But the problem was, it was emotional. And when you saw the Eagles warming up,
God.
Are you telling me it wasn't?
No.
The Vikings collapsed to a team that had everything going for it in an environment that was ready to kill them.
They had Case Keenum at quarterback, who no longer, and all of that regime just got blown up to bits.
But they were good in the moment.
No, they weren't.
They were in the NFC Championship game. They were a good
team.
And
what happened? They got out fucking coached left and right after one touchdown that they made.
They fell apart.
They made so much momentum.
That's not momentum. The Eagles team was so much momentum
Xavier
and vibes.
Xavier Rhodes on tape in that game on NFL film says, I've never gotten an ass whooping this bad in my life. They schemed us to death. They knew they were ahead. There is no such thing as momentum. There is no reason why to play any of these people in preseason. There's no reason to play your starters at all. If you have a first round bye, shut it down. There's no, you're not.
All right.
Wait.
The players that want to do their thing, let them do their thing. Otherwise, rest.
215-509-5833. Hit us on the text line, please.
Love
215-509-5833. That's where you can text us. Or if you're watching on YouTube, go in the comments and just let John know how you feel.
You're telling
about
me that momentum exists in football.
Are you saying game to game or like actually in game?
Like, I'm saying preseason has no value in warming you up for the season, and the end of the season has no value in warming you up for a playoff run. They're all three different seasons.
But in game?
In game, there is no momentum. There's no. There is either you planned well or you did not. And if you did not plan well and can't react to the fucking punch that you just got, then you suck as a coach and sit down because you're going to lose the fucking game.
Well, what's all those teams taking their foot off the gas, right? You lose that momentum. You lose that energy. You start playing scared.
Well,
it's a mental thing.
Because they think the game is over. And that, again, is also a result of shitty coaching. Like Tom Coughlin, shitty coach, allows DeSean Jackson to run one all the way fucking back. That's not a miracle. That's Tom Coughlin being a stupid dickhead. And so his players.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not momentum. And they let up because they thought the game was over. There's 7 minutes left. Brent Celek scores. The next thing you know, there's an onside kick that they're not ready for. Oh, shit. They're alive again, and they got to turn the switch back on. That's shitty coaching, game planning, and all that.
That's momentum, though. When you turn off your brain, it's momentum. To get back into the game is momentum. You believe it. You go from not believing that you're going to win the game and playing like shit to believing that you're going to win.
No one on that Eagles sideline thought they were going to win that game. Even
not
when
for
it was
a while.
Happening. Even and while it was happening,
there was
they
a
didn't
point
think.
Where they had a shot and you play differently. There's a point in every single game like that. I remember when the Houston Texans played the Chiefs in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And they put up, 24 points in that first quarter? I mean, they kicked ass in that quarter. And then there was a point where in the middle of that second quarter, the Chiefs were coming back. You're like, holy shit. Like, they scored again. And you're like, this is going to end really
Wasn't
poorly
that the
for
Chiefs
the Texans.
Super Bowl year? Didn't they win that year?
Well, yeah, I think so. That is, yeah, but
what the fuck
but
are we
were down 21 points in the first quarter, and Houston let off the gas, and then and a team that felt like it shouldn't have had any business in the rest of that game comes out, and there's a pivot point in games like that where you feel like, oh shit, this is turning, and that other team's on their heels, and they're just not mentally ready for this moment, and that is momentum.
Bengals Chiefs, we just saw it.
Dude,
Bengals,
just,
yeah, the Chiefs are let their foot off the gas once in a while lately, and that matters. That is momentum.
That is the Bengals adjusting to what the Chiefs do and kept.
Oh, my God.
From the first point of the game to the end, they didn't significantly change much of anything. even said so.
Yeah, they did say so. So it's the mindset.
It's the coaching and the game planning and all the shit that goes into it weeks beforehand.
This is an inefficient way of saying momentum.
This is an official saying. I've got to get some fucking liquid death in me because I'm going to lose my mind if we go around in another circle here. My goodness.
Yeah, I think that's a spiked liquid death because my goodness. Yeah.
Well, it should be. And by the way, it's going to be because, as a reminder, go to liquiddeath.com/bell. To get every case that you order shipped to you for free by using that link, and it helps support the podcast so much, and we really appreciate when you do that. But these bad boys, along with all the flavored Johns, and I believe all of the flat water that's coming, the original OG cans, will be at the Washington tailgate. They are agreed to send us 3 humongous pallets of water. So... drink up, everybody. It's going to be an amazing tailgate. And you know that everywhere we travel, we have Liquid Death for that reason. It's recyclable. We're having 1,000 people there. You know how much? We'd have to be complete fucking dickheads to bring plastic bottles, knowing full well that we're serving 1,000 people. So I was adamant that we got them in there for this tailgate. They were so appreciative of it. And we are appreciative of their support for this year because they are really getting behind us this year because of you. So thank you so much. Keep going to liquiddeath.com/bell. When you want that craving of that sweet, sweet mountain water from the Alps, so you can just crush this motherfucker and feel like a badass. I don't know what it is, man. I just love it. It's just, I understand. It's just water in a can. Everyone tells us that. Yes, it's not anything different than what you get your old fancy plastic bullshit. Just makes me feel cooler. I don't know.
No, but part of it is the volume, because it's a tall boy can, so it's a larger can, so you're getting a lot of water in it.
You are.
And then the other side of it is, I think the can is cold, you know, I think the ability of the colder can, it feels so much better than it does drinking out of a cold bottle.
And it keeps it cold in a koozie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's perfect for tailgates. It's perfect for everything. And our bartender friend, Jonathan, who was on the last episode, actually mentioned, he goes, it kind of feels like you just continue drinking when you want to stop. So like
a non-alcoholic seltzer.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's perfect. So it's the summer of lime for me. Make sure you sit that at 7-Eleven, Amazon, basically wherever you get it. But of course, liquiddeath.com/bell is the only way. Now, let me tell you who's in trouble. Because, I can't believe we just had that momentum conversation that's going to rack my brain for weeks.
Weeks. Yeah, that's a text line, Discord, comment section.
One,
it's all
one of the
blow
more
up.
Weird takes
yeah,
from you.
I hate
no, it. From you.
Yeah. For me?
Yes. Yes.
All right, well.
Yeah, saying momentum doesn't exist is crazy
in
to me.
Football.
It doesn't.
That's crazy.
Just like when I know that Quez Watkins, who is my main darling for Friday night's festivities, I want to confirm the beat writer's eyes, which is, this is the fun part about the first preseason game, too. So you guys have to check me on this one. Quez is going to play an awful lot of football on Friday night. That's my take. There is no way that man is not playing less than a quarter. He is playing a full quarter, and Quez is battling, guys. He's made the team. I'm not saying that, said that on the last one, but he is going to have a lot of snaps. I think he's in trouble.
Well, it's a good trouble, though, to me. You know,
it's the a fact great trouble. That,
because if the trouble is he's competing with snaps with Britton Covey, who everybody loves now, shout out Covey Hive. All right, we've got the British flag flying in the chat because people love the UK. Yeah, so that's really funny for Britton Covey. But between that and Zach Pascal, who apparently has looked good, he talked a lot of shit on Twitter earlier this offseason about all the route running. If Quez is going to compete like that, and I think Quez is damn talented, great. We've got receiver depth. Like, this is not common for this team. So I'm hoping that he's struggling. And if the worst case scenario for Quez is that it turns out he plays a lot of snaps, he fights for the job, he doesn't get it, and he ends up just being a return guy that occasionally gets some deep balls in the slot, I'm down with that. Like, that is a great worst case scenario for this team. It really is.
Yeah. Just the depth of wide receiver that I can even mention, Quez and now Covey and...
When's the last time they were this deep, potentially? If Covey is good. If Covey's good, when's the last time they were this deep at receiver?
Jackson.
Macklin, Avant.
Avant, that whole trio.
It's that whole group, which I think this group is better than.
Oh, definitely. And it's a completely different makeup too. So it's hard to compare. But yeah, in terms of efficiency, yes.
My God,
absolutely.
So yeah, he could be playing a lot.
The other guy that I'm curious about too, and this is really going to defend the whole love of your boy Marcus Epps here. If he plays a lot, what is your reaction on Saturday or Friday night?
I'm horrified if he plays a lot. I don't trust the safety. I think safety is the weakest spot on this team. I mean, it's...
Yes.
The depth isn't there. And right. All these veteran guys have been banged up and whatever. I don't know how to trust these guys. That's why I want Jesse Bates. That's why we talked about that last time.
Yep.
Because you need that. You need health in the back end. That's their weak spot. So if he's playing a lot with all the reports that he's been excellent so far, and he's been in the league for a couple of years now, I'm very worried about that.
Okay, so Epps plays a lot, bad sign. Quez plays a lot. We're going to probably say it's a bad sign for his wide receiver three future.
Yeah, like if he's playing, especially because it's going to be where they get these snaps, right? Yep. Like if Marcus Epps is playing in the second quarter and the first team defense is off the field for the most part, I'm worried.
Yeah.
You know, like he's definitely not Fletcher Cox or Javon Hargrave, but if he's playing when those guys aren't, I'm worried about that. I think that is a big deal. If Quez is playing a lot in the third quarter, I think that's a big deal.
All right. I think I'm going to turn this into a good, bad over under. Because I want to move on to Gardner Minshew. How many quarters is it into danger territory? Because I'm gonna set it at danger zone. I'm gonna say 1.5 quarters is the over under good bad.
Yeah, if he's playing if I see him in the second half.
Yeah, that's bad news, Bears. Yeah. That means the training camp is significant, the practices are significant, but if it's not, all that shit doesn't mean anything anymore, right?
Yeah, if he's playing, yeah. If it turns out this is all in the scenario that Hurts is going to play. Hurts and the starters are going to play, too. So
they are not. I'm going to bet so hard. I know it's probably very unpopular. You feel free to yell at me. I don't think Jalen Hurts is playing one snap.
I'd be okay with it. You know, it's not like
I would be mad as hell.
If they're going to do this, I would rather them do it in the third preseason game right before the start of the season. Yes, yeah. Then get the snaps and be ready to go. Like, do the fine tuning, sure. But to do it now, yeah, it's a little weird. So if they do play, though, and Minshew is not, if he's playing, one, if he's playing in the third quarter, but two, that also means he's probably playing after Reed Sinet. And if that happens, Twitter will explode. The Discord will explode if Reed Sinet is coming out as QB2.
Ooh, I didn't even think of that.
He's done a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, I don't know if it's a competition yet, but if he comes out, if they trot him out before Minshew in the preseason game, it's a competition.
Are they going to do the infamous Nick Sirianni hedge and have them take a quarter each and then give the last 8 minutes to... I don't know. Did they just sign a new quarterback that just to throw footballs lately? I haven't been paying attention.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, the guy is Carson Strong.
So, oh, yeah, Carson Strong.
So
there you go.
Carson Strong. So right now, it'd be like Hurts first quarter, Minshew second, Sinet third, Strong four.
Yeah.
So that's what's the Taylor just gave you a really weird look.
There's no way they're playing four different quarterbacks in the same preseason.
Oh, they
game.
Definitely are.
Why not?
I book it. They have to soak up snaps. That's why they're there. They're playing everybody. They're playing every single quarterback.
So it is close then.
Maybe. I don't think Strong is not in the conversation.
No, Strong's not in the conversation.
I think he's fighting for practice squad right now. That's just my read on it. But otherwise I think they're gonna play all those guys, and we're gonna see where it goes. So that's a big deal.
Yeah,
it'll
be interesting how that gets handled. But doesn't seem like Gardner Minshew's off to a good start. So I don't think it matters as of yet. So we'll find out. Nicobe,
nice.
Oh, those seltzer bubbles are in there, baby.
There you go,
momentum, baby.
This burp brought to you by Liquid Death.
Bop bop bop. Nicobe Dean, a lot of snaps is a bad thing. A lot of snaps is a good thing.
You know,
I think you could go either way.
I think you can go either way on this. If I see him in the fourth quarter, I'm going to riot. I'll say that. Fourth quarter, I'm not happy about Nicobe Dean in the fourth. I can stomach it if he's there a little bit in the third.
One quarter, no more for him, I think, is my comfort level.
Right? I would prefer he's not in the third quarter, but if I see him there, yeah.
If he's not there at all, that would make me so happy. Right? That's a good sign.
If he's not playing at all, that'd be miraculous to me.
Kaiser White, what's his danger zone?
Ooh, that's
That's a tough one, right? Because all these linebackers, man. Yeah. I mean, you look at this group now, and it's like, all right, well, Davion's gotten first team reps. Kaiser supposedly gotten them. TJ Edwards has gotten them. So all those guys and Dean. All these guys, I mean, it might be that Dean is getting a lot of third quarter snaps now that I think about it.
Better question then. How many, like, if all the linebackers continuously play throughout the game, what's your reaction?
If all of, I think everybody that isn't TJ Edwards, I would expect to see throughout the game.
If Kaiser White is in the last half of the game, is that okay?
I guess if he's
sparingly.
In there, because again, it's like if they're going to play the first quarter with the starters, and then if it's Kaiser, Davion, all those guys that are competing for the other spot, N'Kobe, like they're all getting a lot of reps, Sean Bradley, and you're cycling in, yeah, I guess it's not catastrophic to see some of those guys in the third.
Yeah. And then the big one, Cam Jurgens, we're actually going to save that for our bonus segment because we're going to go through all of the rookie class and kind of how they've been up to this point, and that'll actually turn my attention right to this man right here. But we'll get into it further down the line in detail. But, dude, Jordan Davis, I'm so excited to see him. I'm so excited for that. And it's not really just that. It's just what we've kind of been preaching for the last couple of weeks, right? We finally get to see what a base defense looks like in Jonathan Gannon's new little spiel in Schmozzle. So, like, if there's a billion linebackers still playing throughout, I think that's okay because you're trying to get used to whatever they're doing. But, like, yeah, are they coming out in a 3-4 immediately? Are they doing the 4-3 under crap? Is Cox going to be available? Like, I'm curious how they rotate all of the defensive people
around.
Yeah,
it's exciting because that's the funny thing about all of this with the defense being so new. Like, usually people just go, oh, well, all this stuff, it's vanilla. But, like, vanilla's a new flavor here. Yeah. This is a new shop as far as I see it. So if this is the first time they're opening the ice cream stand, I want to see what vanilla tastes like.
Yeah.
Give me all the vanilla you can get. And again, like the Hassan Reddick stuff, are we seeing him drop back is one of those little things that's been my little theory of like that, or my concern, I would say. So we'll see where that goes. Is he dropping back? Is he not? As simple as it is, because all this stuff is
I hope
like,
he drops back a million times.
Oh, God.
This whole game, just to piss everybody off.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Okay, yeah, I will be very mad if that happens.
I won't be very mad, however, and Vince won't be either, if you go to phillysportstrips.com/bell immediately, where if, you know, all these guys are in coverage way too much, well, you can come yell at them with us on the road all season long, whether you want to tailgate with us, whether you want to go to the game with us, travel with us. There's a million ways to come hang out, including our own home tailgate at the Navy Yard, happening at the Gatehouse Restaurant for all of the first six home games. Then we're gonna, you know, see how the weather is. When there's maybe we take it inside, maybe we don't.
In Philly in this winter. I mean, my God,
who knows? But again, phillysportstrips.com/bell. It ensures that you are sitting and hanging out with us. We can't wait because I know Jerry in Houston is dying to drink beers with us, and I am too, buddy. We're coming. But yeah, like I really am so genuinely jacked to see how much Jonathan Gannon's going to allow. Like, even, I don't know if we're going to see it in this one, but like with Slay, with Bradbury, especially, where's the man versus zone shit happening? Like, that's kind of like, okay, you know, like, cause from the night practice, and I keep rewatching A.J. Brown catch that one-handed ball like a sick person over and over and over again. Bradbury's right on his nutsack. So, like, it looks like he was playing press on him. It's some safety help step for step. Like, that was encouraging in just terms of formation and play and being in the right spot. Like, fuck yeah. I might be really wrong about the CB2's importance if James Bradbury is, like, the man.
Oh, dude, no, he's the man. Like, I've seen some of the clips recently because there's been some different practice stuff that's gone out of just multiple reps of those two going against each other. And let me tell you, like, as far as the analytics go with all this, A.J. Brown is one of the best man beaters in football. Like, he was, I think, last year, there's sites that chart every single rep of receivers and how they do versus man and zone and all that stuff. A.J. Brown was in the top five of NFL wide receivers for beating man coverage. James Bradbury is all over him in practice.
Amazing.
All over him. And when A.J. Brown's making a catch, it's a contested catch, which is also, it's great for Bradbury. It's great for A.J. Brown. It's also great for Hurts. Like, talking about his growth, if he's been able to pinpoint these things where Bradbury's got to make a great play to get up and swat it away, or it's right in the breadbasket in tight coverage consistently, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, man. And, like, however, I know Everyone keeps saying, John, it's Kayvon Wallace. Let it go. Like, it's he's just going to be a filler. He's going to be this guy.
Yeah.
I think they have plans for him, or at least how he's trying to force the issue one way or the other. So I'm curious what if he is going to be that Rover dude that in my mind, you're just kind of all over the place. You're helping out linebackers. You're gonna be more in coverage mostly, but you'll come up and blitz. You'll come up and hit because that's what he likes to do. It's probably what he's better at, too, honestly.
Well, so. I think it's what he's better at. Yeah. He might be a linebacker. Yeah. I don't know. But here's the guy I think that's going to be. It's Josiah Scott.
Ah, interesting name.
He's been playing the nickel a lot for the Eagles. He's the backup to Avante Maddox, effectively. So he's been playing in the slot as a corner, but they're also training him as a safety now. So he's getting that work in, and given that it's weak as a position and whatever, then, hey, yeah, get a guy that can cover and put him back there and see what happens. So I totally dig that, and it fits all the cross-training stuff that the Eagles like to do. Speaking of the secondary as well, I think that's one of those things, like, because obviously all the starter stuff is very fascinating, and that's the big buzzy stuff. But thinking about where this team is going to be and what matters later in the game. Thinking about the secondary and all the... Dude, there's 12 corners on this fucking team.
Yeah, take Gowan time.
There's 12 of them. They could literally have a whole defense out on the field that is all cornerbacks, okay? And there'd still be a guy on the bench. So when you have that many people, who does play? How many reps do they get? When are they getting mixed in with the twos? Like, is Tay Gowan going to get a lot of reps as a second? That was your guy. I think there's been some mix-ins there, but it seems like they like McPherson a lot, and he's been doing well this year. So, all right. And I don't know what to make of him. Yeah. I have no idea. Like, Slay said something nice about him, but also, of course, he's going to say something
his
nice about him.
His name is Zek McPherson. Not a football name. That's a baseball name.
McPherson.
McPherson is, but Zek. Yeah. It's a baseball or basketball
it's a
name.
Yeah.
Zek is definitely like a 13th round baseball player out of Missouri.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Or an esports player.
Oh, yeah, ooh, very much so.
I can see that.
Definitely not a football player.
But then he would just go by Zek.
Yeah, right.
That's all he would be. So, yeah, how are all those guys going to shake out? Mario Goodrich out of Clemson, UDFA. Yeah. People were excited about him. Josh Jobe, who I think was Alabama. It was a red school. Alabama, Arkansas, whatever.
Alabama, Arkansas.
I was thinking the same thing, but I was like, is that too deep a reference? Oh, God.
It's Crimson.
Yeah. Crimson, there you go.
Oh, excuse
you son
me.
Of a bitch.
Crimson Tide.
All right.
Roll Tide, baby.
There you
sorry,
go.
Ashley Woods, wherever you are.
Color purist over here. Taylor Cronatis. No,
that's Alabama, baby.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, like, are those guys going to get a lot of snaps? Who's going to make the team? Like, that is a big competition. So how young are they going to go there, and who earns it? So that's one of those things, like, just kind of tracking stuff later in the game, something to keep an eye on.
Well, we're going to get out of here, but not if you're on YouTube. So go join us for the bonus segment as we're going to go through the draft class and just kind of catch you up on there because there's a lot of amazing things that have been happening basically for the last 2 years, but this one specifically looks pretty good. We love you. We will be live streaming for the entire or most of the game. We're going to play the old when we're bored rule. So
yes.
We're going to stretch that into like the third quarter, and we'll just kind of judge that in between there. A post-game show will be available. And don't forget, just like we've been saying, feel free to text us anytime, 215-509-5833. Go to our Discord and join in there. Make sure you're subscribing to our YouTube page right now where you can win $500, and we're giving away awesome sauce and a whole bunch of stuff more actually today. So we're picking a subscriber and giving you some things, and you need to be a part of that as well. Subscribed everywhere you're listening to this on your podcast. Go to phillysportstrips.com/bell. Thank you to Liquid Death. Thank you to Philly Sports Strips. And of course, if you're forgetting anything I just mentioned, it's all at bell and the birdman.com. Okay, see you, bye.